Welcome, church, to our second service today. Big crowd in the first service. Looks like a big crowd today. If you're a visitor, we're happy you're with us, and we welcome you. I pray you, come and receive a spiritual blessing today. Today's message is called Poisonous Fruit. And let me ask a question. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that word, poisonous fruit? For me, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A poisonous fruit. Why would I say that? Because the tree of the knowledge of good and evil poisoned Adam and Eve and all of their children. That tree brought the knowledge of good and evil, and I want you to think about that. It brought, God had told them, it's out of bounds. Only one thing in the garden was out of bounds. It's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you touch it, you're going to die. That tree was poison to them. So I want you to think about the tree itself and its name. The tree represents the knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. So what was it before? What was their condition before they ate of the tree? Did they have the knowledge of only good, not evil? Eating from that tree was an act of willful rebellion against the Word of God. And this is important. It's how we begin today. What happened was eating of that tree was a willful rebellion about the Word of God. God had clearly said no. No. Everything is yes, but there's one no. Everything else is yes. And the tree was called the knowledge of both. The knowledge of yes and the knowledge of no. The knowledge of good and the knowledge of evil. Now, I suppose that before they ate of the tree, all they had knowledge of was good. Everything was yes. But now there's a no. And they've partaken of the no. That willful disobedience brought the knowledge of their sins, their guilt, and their shame. And they saw their nakedness. And as a result, they died from that shameful nakedness. Spiritual death, this is important too. Before the physical death came, the spiritual death came first. So what's the spiritual death? They lost their oneness with God. They lost it. Now, Adam would eventually die at the age of 930. But actually, he died spiritually when he ate of the tree. When he received the knowledge of evil. He already knew good, but now he knows evil. Genesis 3:21. And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife. And then the Lord God said, look, the human beings have become like us. This is important to understand the tree. You see, us knows good and evil. The heavenly host, they know right and wrong. But to this point, that wasn't true in the garden. They become like us, so they've partaken of the fruit, the poisonous fruit, and now they've become like us, knowing both good and evil. What if they reach out and take fruit from the tree of life? There were two trees in the middle of the garden. What if they now that they know good and evil, what if they reach out and take fruit from the tree of life and they eat it? What would happen? They'll live forever. Evil will be forever. Evil will be forever. So God's got to stop that from happening. So the Lord God banished them. He banished them from the Garden of Eden and he sent Adam out to cultivate the ground from which he had been made. And after sending them out, the Lord God stationed mighty cherubim, those are angels, to the east of the Garden of Eden, and he placed a flaming sword that flashed back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. now that you know good and evil, you can't live forever. You can't have the tree of life. Because evil, God will not allow evil to be eternal. And the tree of life represents eternity. Mankind now had the knowledge of good and evil. And let me put it like this. We know the truth about life and death. We know the truth. So let me do this. Today, we have the knowledge of good and evil. We know the truth about life and death. Well, but there's a problem. You know what the problem is? It comes with a choice. Does everybody believe that this is the knowledge of good and evil, that there is a good and there is an evil? Does everybody believe that in here is the description of life and death, heaven and hell, eternity? No. It comes with a choice. That doesn't mean everyone accepts the truth, but we all have access to the truth. We all today, and since the time of Adam, we have all have access to the knowledge of good and evil, but it comes with a choice. We have the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life is out of reach for now. Think about those two things. We have the knowledge of good and evil, which brings death, and the tree of life, nobody can get to it. God put a flaming sword up. You can't get to it. The poisonous fruit tree brought the knowledge of evil, the rebellion against the goodness of God. And two things happened in the beginning. In the beginning, we now have the knowledge of good and evil, and the tree of life is out of bounds. Now, this is kind of foundational to today's message. We, all humans, all mankind, has the knowledge of good and evil, right and wrong. Actually, it's inherent to us. We know, to many degrees, we know good and we know evil. And the tree of life is out of bounds. Nobody can reach it, at least not yet. The poisonous fruit. Why do I call it the poisonous fruit? Because when you eat it, you die. You die. Romans 5:12, one of the clearest depictions in the Bible of this scene. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. What was the sin? He ate the poisonous fruit. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. The poisonous fruit is poison. You're going to die from it. I give you that poisonous fruit background of good and evil and the resulting sin and death so that I might fast forward to the time of Moses. Let me give you some context when we jump in here. Moses, who is our preview of Jesus. You ever thought about that? Moses is a shadow of Jesus, a reflection of Jesus. He's not Jesus, but he comes into Egypt to bring people out of bondage. Jesus comes into our Egypt to take us out of bondage, right? So Moses, the deliverer, has led the people out of Egypt. They've received the law of God, and the very presence of God has entered into the camp of Israel. And God's presence is living behind the veil in the tabernacle. His actual glory is behind the curtain. And God is traveling with them, leading them in the wilderness journey to the promised land. But the people, just like Adam and Eve and all that followed them, the people did the same thing that Adam and Eve did. They rebelled against the word of God. Again. They rebelled against the word of God again. So why do I say that? In the garden, what happened? God said, no. And they did it anyway. They rebelled. It's rebellion. So now, fast forward the time of Moses, they're going to do it again. They're going to rebel again. The poisonous fruit of rebellion has been eaten again, but this time it's by the called out and chosen people called Israel. The very same people that God had personally delivered out of bondage. They're going to rebel against the one who brought them out of their slavery. Israel, this is important. Israel has the knowledge of good and evil. They have Moses, they have the law, they have the knowledge of good and evil. They know. They know the difference between good and evil. They know the difference between right and wrong. They have the knowledge of good and evil. Israel had left the wrong behind. That's called Egypt. And they're now being led to the good by God through the wilderness to the promised land. But the poisonous fruit appears again at the edge of the promised land. And what did the poisonous fruit look like? And the reason I'm going to make a big deal out of this today is the same poisonous fruit that was there in the garden, the same poisonous fruit that was there at the edge of the promised land with Moses is the same poisonous fruit that's here today. Rebellion, fear, and doubt. Rebellion, rebelling against what? The word of God. God said, if you eat of that tree, you're surely going to die. They rebelled against that. They rejected it. And what does it look like today? Same thing. I'm going to show it to you. So, fearing the enemy, what did fear have to do with it? When Moses leads them up to the edge of the promised land, they sent spies in only to find out that there were giants in the land. But God had already told them, I'm going to go in front of you, and I'm going to clean them out. I'm going to fight for you, right? But they have fear, and they have doubt. You ever have fear? I'm asking you. You ever have fear? You ever have doubt? Have you ever thought about the fact that fear and doubt is part of the poisonous fruit? You know, fear and doubt is the manifestation of the rebellion against God. What does he say? Do not fear. Don't doubt me. Faith is not doubting, right? Numbers 13:25. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community that they had seen what they had seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb, now here comes a guy. You see, can you see fear in there? There's giants over there. Yeah, it's bountiful. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. But you know who's guarding the milk and honey? Giants. I see fear and I see doubt. It is a poisonous fruit. Are they going to eat it? They have the knowledge of good and evil. What's the knowledge? God's word is the knowledge. I'm going to go in front of you and fight for you. And they can't beat me. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. And here's Caleb. Let's go in at once and take the land, he said. We can certainly conquer it. You know what they call that? They call that faith in the word of God. God said it. I heard it. I believed it. I received it. I live it. It's called faith. Caleb's got faith. He doesn't have fear. He doesn't have doubt. He's confident. God said he would fight for us. But the other men, verse 31, the other men who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go up against them. They are stronger than we are. So they spread this bad report about the land among the Israelites, and the land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes in to live there. All the people we saw were huge. And by the way, I talked about this several weeks ago, about that we believe that probably they were the Nephilim, the remnant of the Nephilim. They're giants. They were big. They are fearful. Unless you believe God's bigger than the Nephilim. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers, and that's what they thought too. I'm going to ask you, do you see it? Do you see the poisonous fruit of rebellion? God said, go. Do you see the poisonous fruit of fear? But they're big. Do you see the poisonous fruit of doubt? How do I know you won't take us over there and abandon us? It's poisonous fruit. If you eat it, you got the knowledge of good and evil. You know God's already told you, I'm going to do this. You're going to inhabit that land. In fact, that's why I brought you out of Egypt. Do you see it? They have the knowledge of good and evil, but they will choose evil over good. The knowledge of good and evil always comes with a choice. Rebellion, fear, and doubt over faith and trusting in the Word of God. You think that has any application today? Rebellion, fear, and doubt over trusting in the Word of God. It comes up every day in my life. Every day. This rebellion, fear, and doubt spread throughout the whole camp of Israel, and they began plotting to overthrow Moses, their deliverer, and go back to Egypt. Let me read it to you. Numbers 14:4. It says this, they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader, let's get a new Moses, and let's go back to Egypt. What's Egypt? What's Egypt? Slavery, bondage, go make some more bricks. They want to go back to Egypt? Rebellion, fear, and doubt. It's the poisonous fruit. And 10 men ate the poisonous fruit that day, and 2 abstained. You ever thought about that scene? 10 men come. There's 12 that go and spy out the promised land. 10 of them come back, and they eat the poisonous fruit. Rebellion, fear, and doubt. But listen to me. 2 men abstained. 2 men, Joshua and Caleb. They're not going to eat that. They don't want to rebel against God. They don't want to be afraid, and they don't want to doubt God's word. What do you think happened to those 10 men who ate the poisonous fruit? Let me say this. Spiritual death came first, just like Adam. Spiritual death came first, but physical death, in their case, came soon thereafter. What happened to the people around those 10 men who joined in the dinner of poisonous fruit? Here's the point I'm going to make right now. Do you think when you eat the poisonous fruit, when you rebel against God's word, when you sin against God, do you think it only affects you? I'm going to show you that it affects countless people around you. A lot of people have this idea, it's my life, it's my body, I'll do what I want to, it's me, as if somehow or another it has no influence on anybody around me. You'd just be wrong. So what happened to the people around the 10 men who joined in the dinner of poisonous fruit? Remember, they all have the knowledge of good and evil, but it comes with a choice. God is with them, leading them and offering to fight for them in the promised land. So what happened to the 10 guys who come back snacking on the poisonous fruit? They want to replace Moses and let's go back to Egypt. What's God going to do? I want to read it to you. Numbers 14. The 10 men Moses had sent to explore the land, the ones who incited rebellion against the Lord with their bad report, were struck dead by a plague by the Lord. He killed them. I told you the fruit was poisonous. If you eat it, it's poison. God executed judgment on the 10 men. I've often said democracy does not always bring a fruitful life. You know what the vote was that day? 10-2. 10 men ate the poison and 2 abstained. Well, it's my body, it's my life. No, it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You affect the people around you when you sin. 10 men ate the poisonous fruit of rebellion, fear, and doubt, and those 10 men caused, listen to me, they caused the whole community of Israel to eat that same poisonous fruit of fear and doubt. 10 people got it started, but then the whole group in Israel ate the poisonous fruit. And what happened to the people who ate the poison? This is very important. I don't have time to read it all to you, but let me give you the short version. At that point, you can go back and read it. At that point, God, he executes the 10 guys, and he turns to Moses and says, I'm going to kill them all. I'm going to kill all of them. And we're just going to start all over. I told you the fruit was poison. And what happens? This is when Moses takes his position as a shadow of Jesus. He steps between God and Israel and says, please, no. Don't kill them. Don't do it, Lord. He intercedes before the Lord and he asks for mercy and a pardon upon the people who had eaten the poisonous fruit of rebellion, fear, and doubt. Numbers 14:20. Then the Lord said, Moses has just said, please don't kill them. And the Lord said, I will pardon them as you have requested. But as surely as I live, and as surely as the earth is filled with the Lord's glory, not one of these people will ever enter the land. Sin has consequences. They have all seen my glorious presence and the miraculous signs I performed both in Egypt and in the wilderness, but again and again and again and again, they tested me by refusing to listen to my voice. They will never enter. They will never even see the land I swore to give their ancestors. None of those who have treated me with contempt will ever see it. But my servant Caleb has a different attitude. He abstained from the poisonous fruit. He has a different attitude than the others have, and he has remained loyal to me. So I will bring him into the land he explored. His descendants will possess their full share of that land. Every male, listen carefully, every male 20 years of age and up would die in the wilderness outside the promised land in the next 40 years. The Bible gives us a pretty good example of what that number was. It was 601,728. They all died. Does sin only affect you? If you eat the poisonous fruit, do you only get affected? You see, it took out a whole generation. The poisonous fruit of rebellion, fear, and doubt had doomed the men and their families to wander in the wilderness for the next 40 years until every one of the adult males were dead. But you know what God had wanted? God wanted these men to lead their families to the promised land. But because of their rebellion, because of their fear, because of their doubts, they didn't lead their families to the promised land. They led their families to their death. I need to fast forward one more time to the end of the 40 years of wilderness wandering. Now Moses is 120 years old. Moses' first 40 years, I think this is interesting, it's broken three parts. Moses' first 40 years were in Egypt. His second 40 years were in Midian, hiding from Egypt. And his final 40 years were in Egypt and then wandering in the wilderness outside the promised land. Did the poisonous fruit of rebellion, fear, and doubt affect only the 10 men? It's a real question. I want you to think about it. Did the poisonous fruit of rebellion, fear, and doubt only affect the 10 men? No. Did the poisonous fruit of rebellion, fear, and doubt only affect the families of the 10 men? No. The poisonous fruit of fear and doubt affected all of them. And here's the point. Even Moses. Do you realize that Moses and Joshua and Caleb and Aaron, they didn't rebel, but they had to also wander in the wilderness for 40 years. It affected everybody. This poisonous fruit didn't just affect a few of them. It affected all of them, the whole nation. Now, we're at the end of the 40 years of wandering and at the end of Moses' life. And Moses stands before the people. All the previous generation has died. And he repeats God's covenant, God's word to the people. And it's as if Moses is going to say, okay, Israel, let's try this one more time. You rebelled against God the first time, 40 years ago, when he offered you the promised land. Let's try this one more time. See if you'll listen this time. And God, through Moses, is going to once again give the people of Israel the knowledge of good and evil. And it comes with the choice. The word of God always comes with a choice. And God is going to offer Israel his divine blessing, but he's also going to reveal curses that will come if you rebel again against my word. If you do it again, if you do what they did 40 years ago, I'm going to put a curse on you. They will have the knowledge of good and evil. They will know on this side is good, on this side is evil. On this side is blessing, on this side is curse. But you're going to have to choose. Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Here we go. Moses is 120 years old. If you fully obey the Lord, not much rebellion in there, is it? If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully keep all of his commands that I am giving you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the world. You will experience all of these blessings if, it's a conditional statement, if you obey the Lord your God. Your towns and your fields will be blessed, your children and your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruit baskets and bread boards will be blessed. And wherever you go and whatever you do, you'll be blessed. Blessed, 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 blessed. What's the condition? Stop rebelling against my word. Church, anybody listening? Stop rebelling against my word. Stop it. And you'll live under a blessing. There it is. There it is again, after 40 years of curses and wandering, there it is, the blessing of God, the knowledge of good and evil, and it comes with a choice. And I want you to know something. They all know. Moses told all of them. You now have the knowledge of good and evil. You know what will bring you blessings. You know what will bring you curses. You know what will bring you life. You know what will bring you death. You know. But you have a choice. Rebellion, fear, and doubt versus faith and trust in the covenant promise of God. Faith and trust in the word of God offers a blessing of God beyond measure. 120-year-old Moses reveals the blessings and the curses, and they are all recorded in Deuteronomy 28 and 29. The knowledge of good and evil, and here it comes. The knowledge of good and evil, here it comes. The New Living Translation titles this first section, Blessings for Obedience. And the second section, Curses for disobedience. And all Israel's going to have the knowledge of both. You're going to know up front what blessings look like and what curses look like. I want you to listen carefully. I want you to listen carefully to what I'm about to read to you now, because you and I, whether you know it or not, you're in this story. All of us today are in this story. What I'm about to read, we're in this story. Moses gives one last review of the blessings and curses offered by God just before he hands over Israel to Joshua. And he goes up on the mountain to die. So when I read this, I want you to think you're in this story. Deuteronomy 29:14. He's speaking to Israel. But you are not the only ones with whom I'm making this covenant with its curses. You're not the only ones. I am making this covenant both with you, Israel, who stand here today, Israel, in the presence of the Lord our God, and also with future generations. And also with future generations who are not standing here today. That's why I'm telling you, you're in this story. You could say, well, I'm not Jewish. He's talking to Israel. Stay with me. The knowledge of good and evil is that you know what blessings look like and you know what curses look like. You have the knowledge of both, but it comes with a choice. Now jump over to Galatians 3:29. This is why you're in the story. Now he's talking to the church. He's talking to the Gentile church, the non-Jewish church. And now that you belong to Christ, you are the true children of Abraham. You are his heirs, and God's promise to Abraham belongs to you. You're in the story. I'm in the story. He said, what I'm about to tell you is for you and future generations. These next words of Moses applied to Israel and the future generations that would come to faith in God, those who belong to Christ, are the true children of God. Listen very carefully. These are some of the final words of Moses to Israel before he dies. These words reveal the knowledge of good and evil and the poisonous fruit that causes death to those who refuse to put their faith and trust in God and allow rebellion, fear, and doubt to destroy them. Deuteronomy 29, verse 16. You remember how we lived in the land of Egypt? And how we traveled through the land of the enemy nations after we left? You have seen their detestable practices, the pagan nations. You've seen the idols made of wood, stone, silver, and gold. And here it comes. I am making this covenant with you so that none among you, no man, no woman, no clan, no tribe, will turn away from the Lord our God to worship these gods of these nations, and so that no root among you bears bitter and poisonous fruit. And for the church today, do you remember how we used to live in bondage to sin and death? I don't know that you have ever looked at your life like this, but you're from Egypt, and I'm from Egypt. I used to live in Egypt. I used to be that person who was in bondage to sin and death. I was that person, and Jesus became my Moses, and he delivered me. We worship the things. There was a point that all of us can say, we worship the things of this world, the created things, rather than the Creator. In Romans 6:20, when you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do what is right. And this is such a deep statement. When you lived in Egypt, you were free to only do evil. You had no obligation to do right when you lived in Egypt. But then someone brought you out of Egypt, and now you have an obligation to do what is right. Evil was what you did in Egypt. You don't do evil after you get out of Egypt. And what was the result of your evil? You are now ashamed of the things you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you are free from the power of sin and have become slaves of God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Do you remember the time in your life when you ate regularly the poisonous fruit? I do. Do you remember? I'm looking around the room. Would you be honest with yourself? Do you remember the time in your life that you ate regularly of the poisonous fruit? I do. This is a warning. Today is a warning. That poisonous fruit brings death. Let no root among you bear the bitter and poisonous fruit. Deuteronomy 29:19. Those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate yourselves saying, I am safe, even though I am following the desires of my own stubborn heart. This sounds much like the church in America. I am safe. I am sucking down the poisonous fruit every day of my life. I have the knowledge of good and evil, and I choose evil, but I am safe. No, you're not. You're deceived. You're deceived. You're in willful rebellion against God. You haven't repented of that sin. You haven't taken that sin serious. You have no idea that that poisonous fruit's going to kill you. You're going to die from it. This would lead to utter ruin. Let me read 19 again. Those who hear the warnings of this curse should not congratulate themselves thinking, I am safe even though I follow the desires of my own stubborn heart. This would lead to utter ruin. The Lord will never pardon such people. Instead, his anger and jealousy will burn against them. All the curses written in this book will come down on them, and the Lord will erase their names under heaven. Does he bluff? The Lord will separate them from all the tribes of Israel to pour out on them all the curses of the covenant recorded in this book of instruction. Now, some of you say, well, okay, but that's Old Testament and that's Israel. Well, I'm going to show you that one is the same as the other. So here comes the Apostle Paul talking to the Gentile church at Corinth, and here's what he says. Listen carefully. 1 Corinthians 10:1. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. So Paul is talking about Moses and them in the wilderness. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. And in the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. And all of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was who? Christ. Ready? Yet God was not pleased with most of them. I just wish he wouldn't use the word most of them. Most of them. God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us. This is New Testament. This is church. These things, what happened, what I've read to you about them in rebellion and fear and doubt, these things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality. Anybody listening, church? If you do what they did, you're going to get what they got. And everybody says, but I'm safe. I'm safe. We must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. It's not just your body, and what you do doesn't just affect you. In this scene, 23,000 of them died because of sexual immorality. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and they died from snake bites. And don't grumble. Well, that would take out the whole bunch. And don't grumble, as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. Anybody listening? They were written down to warn us at the end of the age. Us. Don't you do what they did? Rebellion, fear, and doubt. They had the knowledge of good and evil, and yet they rebelled against it. And the church has the knowledge of good and evil, and right now is rebelling against it. Look at the next verse, 12. If you think you are standing strong, church, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. And when you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. So my dear friends, flee. Flee from the worship of idols. You know what idolatry is in the New Testament? Materialism. Covetousness. An insatiable desire for more and more and more stuff. Now, America doesn't have any problem with that, does it? My dear friends, flee from the worship of idols. You are reasonable people. Decide for yourselves if what I'm saying is true. The knowledge of good and evil comes with a choice. Blessing and curses come with a choice. Faith and trust in the word of God, or rebellion, fear, and doubt. It's all a choice. Do you know how that chapter 29 of Deuteronomy ends? Remember, Moses is 120 years old, and he's wandered with rebellious Israel for 40 years because of that poisonous fruit. Verse 29, listen very carefully. The Lord our God has secrets. There's so much about him we will never understand. We'll never know. The Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for those secrets. You're not accountable for what God has not revealed. No one is. To which I say hallelujah, that I'm not being held to a standard that I don't know the standard. But we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us. I want to do this. I am not accountable for what I don't know about God. But he has given me the knowledge of good and evil. And I am accountable for all that he has given me. And this is it. This is it. There's so much I don't know. There's so much I don't understand today about God, the Bible, the story of man. Many times somebody will ask me a question. Sometimes I just say, I don't know. I don't know. Because I don't know. There is so much I don't know about heaven and hell. And about the ability of man to choose life, death, blessings, curses. So much of that I don't know. There's so much I don't know and understand about the balance between God's sovereignty and the free will of man. I admit, so much I don't know. I heard Billy Graham make a statement in one of his sermons not too long ago. It's a recorded sermon. He said, there's so much I don't know about God, but what I do know about God has changed my life. And to that I say amen. There is so much about God I don't know. But what I do know has changed my life. This past week, much of our nation was stirred by the shooting of Charlie Kirk. It was an assassination. And when I looked at that scene and just followed some guy slitting the throat of a young girl in a subway, it just becomes more and more evident to me that the darkness is expanding. It's expanding. And for those of you who have eyes to see and ears to hear, you see it and you know what it is. In fact, you understand that all of that's in here. The love of most will grow cold toward the end. But what I want to focus on now is we have the knowledge of good and evil, and there is an evil. And that man that shot Charlie Kirk, it is a demonic power. It's a demonic power. There are demons that have the ability to enter into people and cause people to do things that they would never, ever, ever do apart from that demonic power. And those demonic powers are real. And the deception of those demonic powers is incredible. It's incredible. And they are very powerful. And you cannot stand against those dark powers on your own. Only Christ in you can keep you from falling victim to that demonic darkness. But I'll tell you this, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And that can make you fearful. I don't say that to make you fearful. I say that because I live in reality. It's going to get worse. When you stand up for your faith, and Charlie Kirk was one who was very bold in his faith. He was outspoken in his faith. And, you know, they took his life. And the Bible, Jesus says at the end, the persecution of the church will get more and more and more, not less and less and less. And why do I bring that up? Is this, because in that scene, in that moment, we have to figure out that the poisonous fruit is to rebel against the word that is preached, to rebel and then to become fearful and doubt. The word of God has told us we have the knowledge of good and we have the knowledge of evil so that I'm not deceived by the evil and I lean into the good. The Lord God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for those secret things. Today, I accept that fully. So much I don't know. But I also accept this truth fully. We and our children are accountable forever for all that He has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of His instructions. And today I beg you, get serious about the Word of God. A lot of people after Charlie Kirk's death are going to look for a political answer, and there is no political answer. There is no political answer. This is a spiritual war. Only a spiritual answer will work. And if I were to give you any advice today, it'd be two things. Get serious about the Word of God and repent of your sins. Stop playing games. If you are living in sin, unrepentant sin, you are a rebel. And if you are living in sin right now, you have the knowledge of good and evil. You know it's wrong, and you do it anyway, and you're a rebel. You're eating the poisonous fruit. Repent. Get serious about the Word of God and repent. And you know what the most beautiful thing is? He will receive you. Blows my mind. He'll receive you if you'll repent. Today, the Word of God has revealed much about the poisonous fruit that leads to death, eternal death, and separation from God in the promised land called heaven. And whether you like it or not, you and I have the knowledge of the good and evil, and that fruit comes with a choice. Faith and truth in the Word of God, or rebellion, fear, and doubt. We and our children are accountable forever for all that He has revealed to us so that we may obey the terms of these instructions. What instructions? I believe what I hold in my hand is the only physical source of absolute truth on this earth. Are you willing to bet your eternal soul against that? The poisonous fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil brought death and curses to Adam and all of his children. Then God set up a gate with cherubim and a flaming sword to keep Adam from taking hold of the fruit from the tree of life after he had fallen into sin and rebellion. Do you know that that tree of life is mentioned four times in the book of Revelation? You know, the tree that was put out of bounds in Genesis, you can't get to it, you can't touch it. There's an angel guarding it. You know, that same tree is mentioned four times in Revelation. What does it tell you? That in the future, the gate will come down. The tree of life. will be available to mankind. This is the first one. I'm going to read the four of them to you because they're short. Revelation 2:7. Anyone with ears to hear must listen to the Spirit and understand what he's saying to the churches. To everyone who is victorious. What does it mean, victorious? You dealt with your fears and you dealt with your doubts and you dealt with your inherent rebellion. That's what victorious means. I will give fruit from the tree of life in the paradise of God. That which you couldn't reach, you will have access to. The second one is on the new earth, new heaven. I will be a new heaven and a new earth, the ultimate eternal promised land. Revelation 22:1. And then the angel showed me a river with the water of life, clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. And it flowed down the center of the main street. On each side of the river grew a tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit with a fresh crop each month. These leaves were used for medicine to heal the nations. My point is this, in Revelation, the tree of life is right there. You can reach it. The third one is the final chapter of Revelation where Jesus announces his return and the reward for all those who have held to his name and held to his word. Revelation 22:12. Look, I'm coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. And blessed are those who wash their robes. Why? Because they will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the murderers, the idol worshipers, all who love to live a lie. You knew, you had the knowledge of good and evil, but you love to live the lie. But there's one more. It's the last one, and basically it's at the end of the book of Revelation. And here it is. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Who's the Spirit? It's the Holy Spirit. Who's the bride? The church. Holy Spirit and the church say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And I solemnly declare that everyone who hears the words of prophecy written in this book, let me hold it up. If anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone removes any of the words from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share. Anybody listening? God will remove that person's share from the tree of life. And in the holy city that are described in this book, and he who is faithful witness to all these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. What I'm about to say, I'm going to say very carefully. So I ask you to listen carefully. Most of you who know me, for any length of time, I believe the return of Jesus is imminent. It could happen at any time. In fact, if you've got a problem with that, you've got a problem with Revelation because he says, yes, I'm coming soon. I just read it to you. But I want to frame it in a slightly different way. I'm going to make a statement. The Exodus is coming. And if you don't know what the word Exodus means, it's Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Exodus is the book of the Bible that describes the Exodus, means the leaving from Israel, left Egypt, and started toward the promised land. It's the Exodus. I'm leaving Egypt. I'm going to the promised land. I'm leaving Egypt. So I'm looking at the room today and I'm telling you the Exodus is coming. I don't know when it's coming. I think it's soon, maybe really soon. I don't know. But I'm telling you the Exodus is coming. The Exodus is the rapture of the church. So I'm sitting out at the church office yesterday doing my final prep for today's message. And I hear something in my heart. The sermon's finished at that point, and I hear this. It should have taken 11 days. And suddenly I got it. It should have taken 11 days. But I wanted to check myself to make sure I understood what it meant. If you open up Deuteronomy chapter 1, it's not in the text, it just happened yesterday. If you open up Deuteronomy 1, you will see very clearly written out that the journey from Egypt to the Promised Land should have taken 11 days. It took 40 years, and most of them didn't make it. And you know, there's a whole lot of conversation going on about this September 23rd. I told you over the last few weeks, I'm not here to validate that or invalidate that. But there's no doubt I'm curious about the date. I'm curious about every date. I thought he'd be here by now. So I, yesterday, sitting out back, counted down 11 days. And it's the 24th. And wouldn't it be an awesome thought, and don't go out of here saying this, that I said this is absolute. I did not. But wouldn't it be awesome that we're going to be in the Promised Land in 11 days? That was as of yesterday. And my question to you today is this. If by chance it's 11 days or today or 11 years. Are you ready? Are you ready? You are or you're not. And if you're living in open rebellion against God, you're not. You're just deceived. You love to live a lie. We are in a spiritual war. We're in a war for life and death. Heaven and hell is in the waiting. And today, my challenge to you is this. I don't know when the rapture of the church is coming, but I can tell you it's coming. And if one day, maybe this will be my best counsel. I can't even believe I'm saying this. Maybe this is my best counsel. If one day in the next year or whenever, all of a sudden you see a whole bunch of us gone, maybe my only counsel for you would be this. Do not take the mark. I've tried every way to convince you beforehand. I don't know how I can do more to convince you. But if it does come and you're left here, don't take the mark. If you take the mark, you're doomed. There is no recovery. Don't take the mark. You know the reason the tree of life is four times in the book of Revelation? I'll ask Chad to come on out. Spiritually speaking, Jesus is the tree of life. He's not a tree. Jesus is the tree of life. When you partake of that, you live forever. You can't die. And today, here's the spiritual truth of today. There's a poisonous fruit. It's rebelling against the word of God. It is to live your life in fear and doubt against the word of God, which keeps you from ever becoming who God wants you to be. Constant rebellion, living a lie. And if there's sin in your life and you walk out of this place today and you're a rebel. And you know good and evil. You know. But you love it. You love it. You love to live a lie. And one day that door's closing. One day that door's closing. You know, sexual sin is epidemic in the church. I get it in the world. I don't get it in the church. I don't. You're rebelling against the word of God. You're eating the poisonous fruit. And the beautiful thing is, God says, I'll forgive you. If you'll repent of your sins, turn to me. I'll receive you. I'll cleanse you. I'll wipe your sins as far as the east is from the west. But you got to turn around. You got to take this stuff seriously. So we're going to sing a song in a moment. And it's an invitation time. It's time to get real about the word of God. It's time to get real about the world we're living in. The darkness is expanding. Are you ready? What's coming next? Don't be afraid. God's going to fight for everyone who belongs to him. He told Israel that, and he told the church that. You belong to me, I'll fight for you. I'll rescue you. Somehow, I'll rescue you. Father, give us eyes to see and ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, and may we follow you with all of our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.